Hey, it's Friday night and the mood is right. Said we gonna have some fun, show you how it's done. TGIF, best thing under sun. Hey, hey, hey. And that's the way it goes. Yeah.
Welcome to week number 236 of the Two Guys Into Fridays podcast. My name is Steven. That over there is Travis.
Welcome to GalaxyCon.
Removed from GalaxyCon, or
what?
I mean, we're not at GalaxyCon right now.
No, I was joking.
I wasn't.
What did you say? We got removed from Galaxy?
One week removed. Isn't that what you say when you're like after the point?
Sure.
We got two episodes to talk about. We got a couple reruns. We're going to be talking about in a minute. But before we do that, thank you, Tony T, for the theme song this week.
Tony T.
Thanks. TGIFcast@gmail.com if you want to send in your own version of the theme song, at TGIFcast on all social media. And don't forget, we're going to keep reminding you until the end of March, vote for us, Style Weekly's Best of Richmond. We are a top three finalist for Best Podcast in Richmond. We've got links on all of our social media. Go there, click on it, vote for us. You can vote once per day and help us win this thing.
So in all seriousness, what is the last day?
March 31st.
It is March 31st. Okay, cool. That is great to know.
Yep.
I did not know that. So
keep voting, get it done, and then I guess we get to go to some party if we win. I don't even know what that's about, but we'll see what happens.
Do we want to go to the party?
Yeah, we want to go to the party.
Okay.
We're going to the party.
Sure.
People are going to be looking for us at this party.
Like, you think it's not going to be a party without us?
100%.
Yeah, you're right.
Like we said, we got two episodes to watch. They aired back in 94. What were the exact dates 30 years ago?
Yeah, so these would have aired March 18th, 1994. Good old Friday night. That is wrong. Man, I'm so off because we did this. We've already done this once. Oh. March 25th, 1994. Still a Friday night.
We do like to see what was going on in the world 30 years ago that week, and I've got three stories for you. Starting off on March the 19th, Yokohama, Japan, the world record was broken, and so were 160,000 eggs as the largest omelet ever was created.
That's so many eggs.
It's a lot of eggs. The whole thing ended up measuring 1,383 square feet, which is also kind of crazy to think about because that's a lot.
All those numbers, yeah. I remember Richmond had the biggest nachos for like a minute.
I feel like I drove or like maybe walked over there when it was going on, but
you probably could have. I mean, it was kind of close to your old apartment. I mean, I was definitely there.
Did they do it in the Banditos parking lot?
They did. Yeah. They had this big, giant, like heating station that they like
to melt cheese with
situation. Yeah, it was. I mean,
why didn't they just get like canned nacho cheese? Wouldn't that have been easier?
I don't know, man. They did. Well, there was.
Is there rules like you must melt your own cheese?
I don't know. This is what they did, though.
Did you eat them?
Yeah, they were just chips and cheese. It wasn't anything big.
All right. March.
It was big, but it wasn't like crazy.
Do they still have the record or no?
I have no idea. No idea.
The omelet record's been broken like at least twice since then. Maybe more than that. March 20th were also the 14th annual Golden Raspberry Awards as the Razzies were handed out. An Indecent Proposal won Worst Film of the Year.
Where was Cliffhanger on this list?
I don't have a list of nominees. I'm sure they were nominated. They did not win.
I've got a list of nominees right here. Cliffhanger nominated Worst Picture. Let's see. Who else from Cliffhanger? Worst supporting act. Oh God, John Lithgow was so bad in that movie. I like John Lithgow, but he was awful in that movie.
Did Stallone win for worst actor? Did Stallone win for worst actor?
No, worst actor was won by Burt Reynolds in Cop and a Half, which was another number one movie. Watch that. Let's see. There's another Cliffhanger there with worst supporting actors. Worst director was. I don't even know. I've never heard of that movie.
Did Cliffhanger actually win any of these or just nominated for all those?
Just nominated. Man. It was so bad. It was so bad.
Also, on the same day, March 20th, Madison Square Garden, WrestleMania 10 occurred. And a couple big matches we had early in the show, brother versus brother, Brett versus Owen, as Owen Hart defeated Bret Hart. But then somehow, I don't even remember how this happened, but in the main event, Bret Hart then faced Yokozuna and won the world championship.
All right, go Bret Hart.
That's all I got for news for this week. What about movies and music? What was number one?
Yeah, so still the same song, The Sign, Ace of Base. It's a few more weeks, but Ace
fine
of
with
Base,
that. No issues.
And then movie. All right, so this is the last of the trilogy, as I know. I don't think there was a fourth one, but Naked Gun 33 and a third, The Final Insult. You know, the good old Leslie Nielsen.
Well, if there would have been another one, it would have been what, 444 and a four, or would they even do it?
I don't think they did
another one.
I don't even know if there was. This says that there was, Wikipedia says there was a fourth film that was supposed to come out in 2009.
Oh. Never happened?
Tentatively titled Rhythm of Evil. That sounds like not a very funny title. Never happened. Never happened.
Any birthdays this week?
Yeah, actually, glad we're redoing this episode because we missed a lot of good stuff here. Sunday, March 17th, Patrick Duffy from Step by Step. Also, Sunday, March 17th, Rebecca Arthur, who has been on the show, Perfect Strangers, March 17th as well. And then Friday, today, the 22nd, Miss Kelly Williams from Family Matters.
It's so a big birthday week.
A lot of good ones, a lot of good ones.
All right, so let's get into it. We've got two episodes. We're starting off with Boy Meets World, Season 1, Episode 19. Kid Gloves is the name of the episode. Starts off, we are in class, Feeny's class, and he's talking about extracurricular activities, and he wants everyone to sign up for something. And he starts, like, reading through this list that he's got, like, poetry club and...
Yeah, geography club.
Yeah, all the nerdy stuff. And Minkus, of course, is real excited, but eventually Feeny gets to the part of his list that pique Corey and Sean's interest, as scuba club is an option.
Scuba, and he challenges the class. Does anyone in the class know what scuba stands for? Do you, Steve, know what scuba stands for?
I do know what it stands for, and I think I learned what it stands for from watching this episode 30 years ago.
That's good. That's a good memory.
But self-contained underwater breathing apparatus is answered by Minkus, of course, who
he
didn't really want to do it. He wanted to not know the answer, so he felt he could fit in a little better. But he does break. He answers the question, and what does he say? He says, like, I hate myself, and then I think Sean says, you're not alone.
Yeah, totally unnecessary from Sean. But
theme song, we come back to Eric and Corey. They are asleep in their room. Alan sneaks into the room while they're asleep, puts a little, like, jewelry box on Corey's head, and I think Eric kind of wakes up a little bit, sees what his dad has done, grabs a megaphone from under his bed, and wakes his brother up.
Yeah, I think it's funny that he has this megaphone ready to go, but he does, and he uses it.
He opens the gift. He finds out it is a birthday present from his dad. It's a necklace, and he's a little disappointed because he really was hoping that he would get a gift like his brother got, which was a really cool knife. But instead, he gets this necklace that he knows nothing about, and Eric tells him, you got to wear it, and you got to act grateful for it.
Yeah, there's this whole thing here where evidently Alan, when he feels like his sons are coming of age, becoming men, he gives them like a special sentimental gift. And he gave Eric this like buck knife. And so Corey is disappointed that this is his coming of age gift. And it's a pair of, in his opinion, mittens. But like you said, he's got to wear it. He's got to push through.
So the show goes downstairs then, where Alan and Amy are talking in the kitchen, and Alan thinks Corey is really going to love his gift.
Yeah. He's like, I'm sorry, Amy, but today Corey is going to love me more than you, and that's just something you're going to have to deal with.
He mentions here that the necklace is actually a pair of silver gloves, which we kind of assume that it's related to boxing in some way, and then Corey comes downstairs in a real hurry to leave, because I think this is like the first day of scuba.
Yeah, he's got his permission slip ready to go. He's excited to get to class. And he, on his way out the door, I think Alan says, like, hey, anything you want to mention? And he's like, oh, yeah, thanks for the gloves. See you later. Bye.
Well, he says, thanks for those little silver mittens that you gave me. I really like them. And then he leaves. So He's out the door. Morgan comes into the kitchen and she's like, I want a present too, Dad, because they've kind of been under this routine where anytime the boys have a birthday, they give her a gift as well.
She's a young, she doesn't get it, so she thinks that she always gets a gift when everybody else does. And they're trying to break her of this this habit.
Yeah, so we go straight from here to scuba class. All the kids are in their robes, and they're looking at the equipment at this point. They've got, like, masks and snorkels and stuff like that. So we get a little conversation here from Corey and Sean, where Sean is making fun of Corey because Corey takes off his robe and shows like Corey. Sean's like, you are so white. Like, do you ever go outside? And then Sean takes off his robe and he's got one of those like Jersey Shore, like bodies drawn on the shirt.
Yeah.
And then like they both realize that they're both really white. And then Topanga and Minkus come over. Minkus takes off his robe to reveal a full neon yellow green wetsuit where we actually get our diss of the week right here.
Minkus, you look like a stick of juicy fruits.
So they continue to make fun of him. They ask Topanga if she's wearing a wetsuit too, and she says no, takes off her robe, and jaws drop from Corey, Sean, and probably Minkus at this point too.
And the studio audience, which was really uncomfortable because you could tell that there was like, I mean, the scene in context makes sense. You got like these prepubescent boys that are like, you know, and there's a girl in a bathing suit. You know, we all know Corey doesn't know anything about girls yet. So he's like, what's the big deal? Well, Minkus and Sean are both like oogling. But then you got the studio audience.
Corey is oogling like, for sure, too.
Corey is, does not get it. Or his character, at least, is
he's like,
in a way that
he's like, do you want to say anything, Sean? Like, I think feel like he's in the same place. And Sean's like, nothing to say here.
He thinks girls are gross. But the studio audience is really uncomfortable because they're like hooting and hollering and whistling. And it's uncomfortable, like, the way that they, like, are kind of reacting to this 13-year-old girl taking a towel off and being in a bathing suit. I thought it was inappropriate.
Minkus walks over and lays some game as he tells Topanga that she's beautiful.
Minkus gets it.
And she tells him, well, my superficial side tells you thank you. And then Corey and Sean, they just sit back and wonder how Minkus is able to do this and they are not.
Yeah. Yep. And that's because Minkus understands ladies and Sean doesn't. And Corey doesn't even like girls at this point.
So Sean then notices the necklace that Corey is wearing, asks him like what it is. And he's like, oh, it's just one of those important father son gifts that sons just don't understand. So they're like, all right, whatever. And then they're all sitting around. They're all waiting to find out who the dive instructor is going to be. And then in walks dive instructor Feeny. Feeny is the one that's leading this whole class.
They're all excited to like get away from Feeny, have a different teacher. But alas, not today.
So Feeny starts off by saying that the first rule of diving is to never dive without a buddy. I want everyone in the class to buddy up, and we're going to do our first lesson, which is buddy breathing. And Corey and Sean just kind of look at each other, and Corey's like, Sean, did you brush your teeth today? And he's like, what day is it? Because they're going to have to share their like breath things. After that, we go back home. Eric is talking to some random girl on the phone, messes up her name or something, and so he's in trouble with that.
That's why he's talking to her. Evidently, he had messed up her name earlier, and so this is him trying to apologize for that.
Corey comes in, and this is where we find out he has lost the necklace that he was given, and he thinks that he can just go buy another one, probably lost it at the pool or something. But Alan comes in at this point and then tells Corey exactly what this necklace is. He's like, Corey, I don't think I've explained this to you, but this necklace, it's actually for winning second place in the entire United States in the Navy for boxing. He went through probably some tournament structure, was one of the final two boxers in the championship bout, and it was a bloody, brutal fight. Tells him that it was probably the most important day of my life up until the point where I realized that I had a son to pass this necklace on to. Big deal. And now Corey feels real bad for losing him.
And he should.
Yeah. So commercial break, we come back to Corey on the phone, trying to just call anywhere that he was, trying to see if anyone's found this necklace. He's having no luck at all. So he's like, Eric, I need you to help me out. I need you to cover for me at dinner. I'm going to go out. I'm going to go try to find this necklace.
Yeah. And trust Eric agrees. He's like, look, I get it. This is the moment you need me. And so he agrees to this. We'll see how he does.
Yeah. So Corey leaves. Dinner time now. Eric's down there with the family. They're all wondering where Corey is. And Eric's like, yeah, he went to Sean's for dinner. I gave him permission. They're like, you gave him permission? He's like, yeah, I mean, I'm at that point now. And then as he's kind of saying that he's at dinner with Sean, who appears at the back door but Sean? So they catch.
This is a great scene. This is a great scene that I won't be able to give credit to because of the way that they
play. The timing and everything with it.
Yeah. It's just so funny because it's like, oh, hey, Sean. And then Eric's like, yeah, just trying to be like, hey, isn't Corey at your house for dinner? And Sean's like, I just had to come get some.
They just catch everyone in a lie at the exact same time.
They play, but they play each off each other so well. And like, there's one time I think where Eric says something like, man, Sean, you're really hurting me here. Like, because Sean they just can't connect. I don't know, man. I can't do this justice. Watch this scene if you didn't watch this episode, because it is totally worth it.
And
totally
then I think Sean says something like, well, guess what? I'm not part of this family, so I get to leave now. So he walks out.
Yeah.
And then they ask Eric, where's Corey? And he's like, I don't know. So Next scene, we are now at the pool. It's an underwater scene where Corey is looking for the necklace at the bottom of the pool. And we see a bunch of different objects like keys and a Barbie doll and stuff like that.
It's all done first person perspective, like from his view through the goggles.
Yeah. And while he's down there, we start to hear Feeny's voice from up above.
Right.
So swims up to the top. We see Feeny standing above him. And yells at Corey for not only diving alone, but also without a lifeguard. Two of the most important rules.
Yeah. So I know you're not a fan, you don't watch a lot of classic movies, at least not like I do. But this whole scene is a reference to one of my favorite movies of all time, The Graduate, where there's Dustin Hoffman's characters in a pool. He's swimming around. You see his first person perspective. And then you hear his dad yelling at him to come up so he can talk to him. It comes up. His dad is William Daniels, Mr. Feeny. So you've got that reference. And then in Boy Meets World, once Corey gets out of the pool and he gets yelled at for not having a buddy, Feeny says, this plan was half baked. And he says, no, sir, it was fully baked, which is a direct line from Graduate. This whole scene is just a nod to William Daniels being in The Graduate. So,
yes.
Which I think is great. I love that.
Yeah, I didn't get that at all. But like actual show now, Corey explains, I had to do it. I lost the necklace my dad gave me. But Mr. Feeny doesn't care. He's like, go home, Corey.
He cares in his own Feeny way.
So we see Corey get home. His mom's obviously happy to see him. He tells his dad, Dad, look, I'm sorry. I lost those gloves that you gave me. And Alan explains, I understand, but you know what? I am much more, it's a bigger deal that we didn't lose you. That's what would have been a big deal. Feeny called. He let us know what happened. I understand that you lost them, but we're glad you're here, but go upstairs. You're in trouble still.
Get out of here.
So they send him off to bed, but as he's going upstairs, the doorbell rings and it is Feeny. They thank Feeny for being there, for helping out, for possibly saving Corey's life. And then Feeny, from his hand, hands over the necklace. He has found the necklace. He gives it to Corey. And it was actually in the pool filter the whole time.
Well, Corey says to him, like, hey, wait, you didn't have a buddy. How did you do this? And he's like, well, I didn't need one. It was in the filter. I'm going to say this, though. It scuba diving in a pool, not that dangerous. You don't need a buddy.
No.
I'm just going to say that. You don't need a buddy.
Corey then hands the necklace back to his dad. And he says, Dad, I don't deserve them yet. Hold on to these and give them back on the most important day of my life. And Alan's like, well, when will that be? Corey says, whenever you give them back.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah, that's the end of the episode. We do get a credit scene with Alan giving Morgan a present, some sort of toy horse. And he's like, don't tell your mom, because this was the whole thing, like not to give them, not to give her gifts on their birthdays, but he goes out and does it anyways. And she's like, was this when you were in the Navy, Dad? And he's like, no, it wasn't. Are you sure it wasn't? Okay, fine. Yeah, it was.
That's good.
Yep. So that's Boy Meets World this week. After that, the only other show that had a new episode was Step by Step. So we watched it. Season 3, episode 20, Feeling 40 is the name of this one. It starts off, we got Brendan, and he's doing that chocolate milk thing where kind of, I guess. Yeah. So like, you know, where JT and Cody always do it, where they right. pour the chocolate in their mouth, they pour the milk, they shake their head real fast. But Dana's like, well, where's the milk? And he's like, oh, I already drank it. And then he just like starts like shaking his stomach up. And
he does like the truffle.
Truffle. Yeah.
To get it all mixed up.
Doesn't make a lot of sense, but
whatever. It's cute.
Drinks it anyways. Cody comes in and he's wondering, Dana, you're smart. Why do you think our fingernails are on the on this side of our fingers and not the other side? Wouldn't it make like digging a whole lot easier if it was on the
scratching,
other side?
All kinds of stuff, yeah.
And she's just looking at him like, Corey,
see,
Cody.
I was hoping this was going to be your diss of the week because she calls him a potato and it's such a like non thing, but it is just delivered from Dana to Cody. I liked it.
I can't do a Dana diss of the week every week. I mean, I probably could, but.
I mean, she's chock full. You're right. You could, but you mixed it up. That's good.
Then Al comes in and she's like, life stinks. I've got to write this report on Lincoln and every single Lincoln book in the library is checked out.
Yeah, because I bet you other people also in her class have to write a report on Lincoln.
This is definitely pre-internet, right?
Yeah, just go online, Google it.
So
I thought they had a collection of dictionaries in the Lambert Foster household, but
they might not dictionaries, encyclopedias, right?
Encyclopedias, sorry, yeah. Encyclopedias. Yeah.
But I mean, you still only get like what, two paragraphs on Lincoln, probably.
Dude, I wrote I wrote a lot of reports out of encyclopedias when I was in elementary, middle school.
Yeah,
probably a little bit of high school.
Probably did a couple, but yeah. I feel like you got to think like each book is one letter.
Yeah, but you get a good amount of information. I mean, it's a Wikipedia article, essentially.
So Cody's like, well, don't worry. If the library doesn't have any books, we can go to my psychic friend, Madam Sonia, and she can actually talk to Abe, and we can get this all taken care of.
While she makes keys.
Yeah, so that's where we're going at some point in this episode. But first, we've got to go to the clothing store, where Carol and Frank are seen entering the clothing store, and we find out she wants a new dress, because it's her 40th birthday.
And they're going out to dinner. Yeah.
Going out to dinner. She wants something nice to wear. We see all the guys kind of crowded into one corner. And then we see Carol go over and like start looking at dresses on the rack.
Yeah. And one thing to note here is that we can tell immediately she's pretty sensitive. Because when she says birthday dinner, Frank mentions 40th birthday dinner. And as soon as he says 40,
shh,
she's
don't
like,
tell anyone.
Yeah, that is, she's pretty sensitive about this whole 40th thing.
So she picks up a dress that she likes on the rack, and the lady comes over who's working at the store, and she's like, oh, you need a size 8. Those are size 6s.
Yeah, she's not nice about it.
And she's like, I think I know what size I wear. And she like takes the dress, and I think the clothing or the shop worker like takes the 8 over there as well and kind of hangs it up next to her. But they go over to the dressing room. And the lady's like, well, what's the occasion? And she's like, oh, it's my 35th birthday. And she's like, oh, well, get ready, because in a few years when you turn 40, which we know she's already doing in like 5 years.
It's all downhill.
Yeah. Gravity's gonna run its course then, and everything's going to start dropping is what she says. And then Carol finishes trying. She's telling her why she's trying this dress on, and then the dress doesn't fit, and Carol obviously is getting real worried that this is the truth for 40 years old.
Yeah, she's not very nice about it.
So hop from there to Cody and Al. They are now arriving at the psychic, the apartment that we've seen before, and they go inside. They're greeted by Madam Sonia, who Cody, what does Cody do here? He like, watch, she's gonna know that we're here. And like he like rings the bell, or like doesn't she have some like weird bell chimes or something?
Something like that.
Yeah. And then like she's inside, she's like, Cody, you're here. Like obviously he had an appointment though, right?
Right, right.
So Cody tells her the reason.
But the other thing we learned too is that she is now doing frozen yogurt too.
Yeah. So were the keys before, keys. Like in an old episode?
Oh yeah, the keys were before. Uh huh.
And now she's got the frozen yogurt inside of there as well.
Yeah.
And Cody's like, Actually, what we're here for this time is we need to talk to Abraham Lincoln. Al needs to get some answers, and we need you to, not resurrect, but what's the word? Like
commune with, seance.
Yeah, yeah. So Al still doesn't believe that any of this is true. She's pretty skeptical at this point, and Cody talks Al into doing it, and they all sit down around this table with Madame Sonia in front of her crystal ball. And Madame Sonia gets into her routine that she does, and then they just start singing Lincoln, Lincoln, Bo Binkin, Banana. It doesn't make any sense, but that's what Cody and Madame Sonia are doing. And then what do you know, behind Madame Sonia appears Abraham Lincoln, and Cody is the only one who can see him.
Yeah, he goes over and like starts talking to him. Like,
well, not just he's not just standing there. He's got a golf club in his hand, and he's just like swinging a golf club in the middle of this apartment. And Cody tells Lincoln about Al's project, and Al gets a little weirded out that Cody's over there just like talking to a blank space in the middle of the floor. And she's like, "I'm gonna head outside." So she leaves the apartment, leaving Cody, Madame Sonia, and the ghost of Abraham Lincoln inside of here. And Cody's like, "Hey, Lincoln, what is the most upsetting part of the 20th century? And he's like, "Oh, well, obviously, it's them canceling Facts of Life. That Tootie was a riot." I don't know, kind of funny.
Wait a second. Hold on. Keep talking. I got to figure something out real quick.
Yeah. So then they go back home, and Karen and Carol are doing aerobics in the middle of the living room. They're watching like Karen's favorite show or whatever, and they're doing the aerobics, and Carol looks exhausted while Karen is just making it look like it's the easiest thing ever. Like Carol,
so I really like that because of the irony of the fact that Suzanne Summers did all the workout videos.
That is funny.
She was like Thighmaster. All right, we can keep moving. What I the thing that I wanted to check real quick, not important. Totally, I was thinking of something else.
Carol dripping in sweat. Mark comes in to make it even better because he's got a giant bowl of ice cream and sits on the couch right behind them, and is like, "You know, Carol, it's a real losing battle with Father Time at this point." So she's like, "Mark, get out of here." And then Frank comes in and says, "Carol, you really don't need to torture yourself. I mean, you look great." And then I don't know what she says, but whatever it is, Frank's like, "All right, obviously I need to get out of here." So he leaves.
Yeah, she's just real, real grumpy with him and everybody, really.
And then Karen goes into the kitchen to get the two of them some water. So while she goes off into the kitchen, a television commercial comes on, and it is for diet pills, and Carol immediately gets the idea that this is a good idea and grabs the phone and calls the number on the TV.
Rump Busters. That's a good name. Rump Busters. Rap group, album.
I mean, as soon as this podcast fails, you could do that.
Rump Busters. Wait. When it does? Like...
A little bit later, Carol's in the kitchen.
Busting.
I mean, this is probably, what, a couple weeks, I would assume, because she is into these diet pills. She's obviously been taking them for some time because she is super hyper. She's running around.
Jesse Spano level of hyper.
Oh, yeah. It's step-by-step's turn to do the pill episode, and she is just acting crazy, like making everyone food. Running back and forth between the kitchen.
Well, if you notice, like when it goes into the scene, she's got the entire table is set with plates, with food, ready to go. And there's only like, it's like Frank and Brendan at the table eating.
Yeah. And Frank warns her, "Hey, these diet pills, they could be dangerous and addictive."
Yeah.
So he's not telling her to stop him yet, but he's like just giving her a warning. So they all know that what she's doing, that she's taking these pills. We'll see what happens. A little later, Cody's now on the couch eating ice cream. We see him get a brain freeze. Al gets home, and she's like, "Cody, I got an A on the Abe report." And she shows Cody the paper and says that, "Oh, that's awesome. I'm going to show Abe how you did." And Al's like, "Cody, do you know that this seeing Abe thing, I mean, it's not real." And then he's like, "Well, you know what? People see things different ways. Like, I might see Abe in front of us, but you might not." And, like, tries to explain, like, how this is real to him. I don't know. It was a little bit of a weird
scene. Yeah, they have this whole, like, discussion about, like, reality versus, like, perception and what's real, what's not, depending on who. Like, and because Al, or what, like, Cody's like, "Well, this ice cream right here, like, like some people, like I think it's pistachio, but some people might think it's chocolate. And like there's this whole
thing. So Al goes upstairs and then Abe shows back up. And then he and Cody have another conversation. I don't know. I don't even remember what this conversation was about. They
was real
talk
general.
About something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing too important. After that, we go to the middle of the night. It's 3 a.m. Frank is coming downstairs. He can't find Carol. Obviously, she's not in the bed. She's not in the bathroom. So he comes downstairs looking for her. She's not in the kitchen. And then in walks Carol, with two bags of groceries. And apparently, she decided to go grocery shopping in the middle of the night.
3 a.m. 3 a.m. at night, she went grocery shopping. I don't know where in Port Washington, Wisconsin, you go do anything at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Walmart, and that's it, I think. I mean, there's nothing else.
If
they have a Walmart, right?
Right.
So Frank tells her, look, these skinny tabs, you've got to stop taking them. It's making you crazy. You're obviously not sleeping. You're running around. I mean, you've got to stop. So just give me the pills. And she doesn't want to give them to him, so he grabs the pills and they go flying everywhere. They're spilled on the floor. She goes crazy trying to pick them all up. And then it clicks. She realizes, okay, I do have a problem. Yeah. She admits it to Frank. She admits she's scared what's going on. She admits she's scared to turn 40 and that she went too far with these pills. And Frank's like, you're beautiful on the inside. You're sweet. You're caring. I love you inside even more than I love you on the outside. And no matter what, I will love you forever. The two of them hug. End of episode.
End of episode. That's it.
Kind of a quick ending, I feel like. Like, it kind of just like, all right, it's over.
Yeah. I mean, this episode was just kind of weird. There was just, nothing was really fully fleshed out between either of the two storylines, I felt like.
We do get a credit scene here where we're all singing happy birthday to Carol. She blows out the candles. She decides to open Cody's gift first, which we see is a scorecard of Abraham Lincoln's from Pebble Beach from his recent round with George Washington, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and Elvis Presley.
That's a good foursome, I suppose.
And obviously she does not believe him that this is a real scorecard, but he points out that Abe shot a 67 at Pebble Beach and says, so much for that Honest Abe thing. That's probably the best part of the whole episode.
Yeah, I liked when Dana called him a potato.
Yeah, so that's it. Just two episodes to watch this week. Those are the two. This is the part of the show where we rank them. We let you know what we liked the best. Like, maybe if you're going to go watch just one episode this week, maybe you take our advice. And I'll go first this week. I like the Boy Meets World episode a lot better than the Step by Step. So that is my favorite.
It's my vote as well.
Yeah. So
it's my vote as well.
If you're just going to watch one, watch that one. And we'll be back next week. What do we got going on?
Well, a couple things before we talk about next week.
Okay.
So first of all, I pulled this up when you mentioned it at the beginning of the episode and noticed it. And I wanted to mention the fact that you didn't talk about how in WrestleMania 1994, was what is widely considered the first time debut ever of a ladder match with Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels.
Oh, was that X? Yeah, I guess it was WrestleMania X.
I feel like that's the headline for WrestleMania 10, WrestleMania X, whatever you want to call it. But other than that, we did have GalaxyCon this weekend. Got a chance to talk to Jaleel White. He told us that he does not do podcast to talk. He doesn't go on podcasts and talk about TGIF. That was what he told me. He's like, I don't do it. I don't like to do it. I like to connect with my fans in person. If I started going on podcasts and talking about TGIF, I'd be on a podcast every day, blah, blah, blah. That said, I went to his Q&A. He was a nice guy. Good stories. Good interview. He was a good interview for what he had. Did make Richmond seem like it was some like backwater podunk town that no one's ever heard of, but
he did.
I really like coming to these like kind of out of the way type places for cons because, you know, the people here, you just connect with them better. It's like, it's not like LA or New York, you know, people know who you are, but they don't really connect with the show.
So it's LA, New York, and then the rest of the country pretty much.
I like going to places that are like, you know, off the beaten path. I'm like, you're not, it's, we're on 95. Like, how off the beaten path did you have to get here? And so that, but otherwise he was fun to listen to. Good to listen to Joey or Matthew Lawrence.
Talk well, at least I can take off my my calendar reminder to send him my weekly email to come on the show. I can stop that now.
You can still try. He might change his mind. I don't know. He might change his mind. But it was good to meet him. It was good to say hi to him. It was good to meet Matthew Lawrence. He was real nice too. Enjoyed their panel, the Lawrence brothers panel. So good times. Good times.
What do we next got? Next week? Next week. Yeah.
Big week next week.
All right.
Big week. Boy Meets World, Step by Step, Hanging with Mr. Cooper, all in reruns. That makes it sound like it's going to be a slow week, but it's not. Family Matters, Season 5, Episode 21 in the 8 o'clock slot. In the 9 o'clock slot, the debut
of
Sister.
Oh, Sister. Already.
Season 1, Episode 1. And not only do we get one episode, but we get two. They run them back to back. Episode 1, Episode 2, next week. So it's going to be a 3-episode week, Family Matters, and then two sisters.
They must have some high expectations for this show that no one's ever heard of.
That's maybe. Maybe. I mean, it's still in the spring. It's not even in the summer. They're debuting in the spring. So we'll talk about Sister more next week when it debuts. There's some interesting things. I think this is one of those shows, too, that I think people have maybe a mis-memory of.
Okay.
It's kind of Lifetime on TGIF. So we'll talk about that as well.
Awesome. Thanks again to Tony T for the theme song
Tony
this week.
T, thank you.
TGIFcast@gmail.com is the email, at TGIFcast on all social media. Don't forget, vote us for Style Weekly's best podcast of Richmond. There are links on all of our social media. You can vote once per day till the end of March. So please do that. Help us out. We would love to take home that honor.
Yeah. And there's a lot of other great categories. So feel free to, you know, whatever.
Or don't. Or just vote for ours.
Yeah. And get your coworkers, your family, and your friends to vote.
Everywhere.
Cool, man. Have a good week, Steve.
You got it, dude.
Hey, it's Friday night and the mood is right. Said we gonna have some fun, show you how it's done. TGIF, best thing under sun. Hey, hey, hey. And that's the way it goes. Yeah.
TGIF Podcast.